welcome to This Versus That, Making Wedding Decisions with Kelly McWilliams. This podcast is for you if you're making a wedding decision and want to know what to consider before saying I do to all the things that will make your wedding experience a great one. I'm your host, Kelly McWilliams, and I'm so glad to be a part of your wedding planning journey. In each episode, you can count on me and my expert wedding co-hosts to give you everything it takes to make the best decisions for the wedding that you're dreaming of. And we're back. So this one, I love the beginning of this episode with Callie from Modern Trousseau. We hit it off instantly. And as a reminder, we're here at Mélange de Blanc at New York Bridal Market Fashion Week. And it is noisy, guys. You're going to hear it through all of these episodes in this mini series as we interview all of the top designers. And I just want to make sure that you're alerted to that if you haven't listened to the last few episodes. But this conversation with Callie was so cool because we learn about how the name from Modern Trousseau came to be. So I hope you enjoy this one. I definitely did. Callie, thank you so much for coming in today. I'm so excited.
Thank you for having me.
This is quite the week here in New York.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm.
And I'm so glad you're here. And we were talking when you came in that you're from New Zealand?
Australia,
originally. But you're here in New York now.
Yes, and I live here in the United States.
That's great. So I'd love for you to tell us, like, how Modern Trousseau came to be. I also want to know about the name, like, how you decided on that name. Is there a story behind it?
Well, there is. So I was struggling to come up with a name, and I found the word trousseau in the dictionary, and I saw that it meant, the definition was what the bride wears. And I thought, oh, that's perfect.
Oh.
But you can't trademark a word like trousseau. It has to be something. So I came up with, like, bridal trousseau and different things and nothing. In Australia, where I registered the name first, you have three options.
Okay.
And so I did two, and I couldn't think of a third one. And my sister said, well, what about Modern Trousseau? So I wrote Modern Trousseau on a piece of paper, and then a few weeks later it came back, and that was the one they selected.
That is, because they tell you.
Yes.
They tell you what it's going to be?
Yes. You give three options, and then they pick one.
Were you excited when that one
was? Yes. And I said to my sister, I said, look, I chose your name.
What were the other two that you put on?
I don't even remember? I don't even remember, but glad that it was option three.
Yeah.
That was my third choice.
Oh, that was the third choice.
That was the third choice. I put my sisters down as the third choice, and that was the one that was selected. So Modern Trousseau, that's how the name came about.
And when was that?
Oh, gosh. Too long ago.
Too long ago?
Well, before 2000. I think it was sometime in the 90s, I ran a business in Australia doing bridal gowns.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I had that business for a little while, and then my husband got a job in the States, and he said, you know, how about if you come over here and we, you know, set up your business over here? And I thought, wow, that sounds great.
You were looking forward to it.
I was, actually, because I came over to America and I realized that it's really well run over here, the wedding industry. In Australia at that time, I don't know exactly what it's like in Australia now, but it was much smaller. Mm-hmm. We didn't have a bridal market.
Oh.
Yeah, there was no bridal market. So I remember when I wanted to start selling my gowns to other stores, I really should go through telephone book, which I don't know if anyone else in telephone book is anymore, but
I do.
They have these books with names and address in them. And the first one I found was Abbey Bridal, and I called them up, and they said, yeah, okay, we'll take a look. And so I started wholesaling to Abbey Bridal, which is actually, I think it's part of the Maggie Sotero line.
Yeah.
But that's what it's called in Australia. So I started selling dresses wholesale there, and I was like, oh, this wholesaling, this is great. And so when I came to America, I thought, oh, you know, this is such a wonderful market. It's such a great opportunity for me to set up my business and start it. And I started in the basement of my house, And I sewed my first collection myself.
Did you really?
I did. I did all the patterns. I did all the draping, all the cutting, all the sewing.
Did you go to fashion school?
Yes.
Okay.
I went to fashion school in Australia. I went to RMIT.
Okay.
And I had 3 years of just having fun and being crazy with fashion. And then got out into the real world and thought, oh, what am I going to do? But my mother said, I think she was terrified that I wasn't going to be able to find a job. So she found a job in a newspaper. Mm-hmm. Again, I'm not sure if people noticed, but jobs used to be advertised in newspapers.
Yes.
And I went for the job. It was with a company called Mariana Hardwick. And the company's still going in Australia. And I got the job. And I just fell in love with bridal. It wasn't something that I grew up
thinking. Were you designing that?
I was, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I was designer for... We didn't have destination weddings.
Mm-hmm.
We called them informal weddings.
Oh.
So I was the informal weddings designer.
Got it.
Yeah. So the gowns were kind of simpler, easier. And I loved it. I fell in love with it, and I've been doing it ever since.
Okay.
So it was all my mother. All my mother.
Your mom.
My mom. Thanks, Mom.
So... Your husband said, we're going to move to the U.S.,
mm-hmm.
and you came here, and then, so that's when you were introduced to, like, bridal markets, like, what we do now.
Yes, yes.
So, New York bridal market was happening.
Yes. I got a job in a bridal store, because I wanted to see how it worked, and they said they were going off to bridal market. I'm like, what's that? And they told me all about it, and sometime later, I got the opportunity to go to bridal market and see what it was all about. I thought, this is fantastic. And so I started. I had two small children in the meantime, so I waited until they were in kindergarten. I had some time.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started my business in the basement. And I was very lucky. I just was able to grow it.
Mm-hmm.
And
Out of my basement.
And then I found stores,
okay.
And I did trunk shows, and I started selling one or two here or there,
mm-hmm.
and then it just started to grow. It was fantastic.
I love that. And now, from a place where you are just like going right direct people to being in a place like this, Mélange de Blanc,
mm-hmm.
where they have bring all the designers in, and you can do the shows, and it's a game changer.
Absolutely. Yes. Because, when you're in a show like this, you get a lot of international buyers. I've had buyers from Brazil and Japan all over coming to see us. Even Australia. Someone from Australia stopped in. And it's funny because we actually don't sell our gowns in Australia at the moment.
Oh, really?
That could change. Yeah. So it's just wonderful to have that exposure.
Mm-hmm. Well, so in those instances where you don't have the gowns, like in salons, like somewhere like Australia, someone can still get your dresses, right?
Yes.
So would they be ordering online, or they have to contact a store
They would have to contact a store.
Okay.
Or contact me directly. Because we did have a dress. We did a short dress many, many, many years ago, before anyone was doing short white dresses.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really just for fun. And it just took off. And we used to get calls from, people in Poland and Ireland.
Oh, my gosh.
Can you send me this dress? Can you send me this dress? We're like, okay, give us your measurements.
Yeah.
We'll send you the dress.
Mm-hmm.
Usually if somebody wants something from overseas, they can call us directly. And we'll figure it out. We'll figure out a way.
That is so cool. Okay, so tell me about, your current line. What we're going to see,
I'm so excited.
I can tell you're excited. That's one thing about podcasts that are so bad is that when the second I say that to people, to the designers mm-hmm. that come and sit in here, the glow and the smile mm-hmm. is immediately. The excitement is there.
Because you put your heart and your soul into every collection,
mm-hmm.
Or at least I do. And I'm so lucky because I have a wonderful team of seamstresses mm-hmm. and people that I work with who can interpret my sketches and my way of thinking and my aesthetic, and we all work together
mm-hmm.
to make these gowns. And I think the collection is amazing. I think everyone did a great job
mm-hmm.
and they really pulled it together. There's always some last minute dresses, fabric that arrives late, that you're tearing your hair out, but everything came and everything looks great and wonderful. And I'm just really happy that it turned out.
Tell me what your process is for because you've been doing this for a long time.
Yes.
And I'm sure there's times, seasons where it comes really easily to you, but for this season, Was it that you were inspired by fabrics that you came across, or things that you saw out in art, or what brought
it's
you
really
to this
both,
line this time?
Because I just recently moved to Washington, D.C., so I've been going to a lot of museums and things like that. So one of our dresses, Willow, is very architectural.
Willow?
Mm. Okay. And it's like sculpture. So it's actually a really classic, simple strapless gown, mm-hmm. and then it has these beautiful flowers that we made, and giant leaves that kind of cascade down the side, and it looks like sculpture. Like when you're making this, so basically I was in the workroom, and I just grabbed a whole lot of leftover fabric, and I went in and I said, all right, I'm gonna sculpt this piece that I want, mm-hmm. because you can do a sketch, but it doesn't really mean a lot. You have to really, you know, put it together and see how the fabric works. Because mm-hmm. you can't fight with your fabric. You have to work with it. Because the fabric always wins. So it doesn't matter. You just have to choose the right fabric and work with it and see as you're molding it and you're making mm-hmm. things how it turns out.
When you are sketching your designs, mm-hmm. do you have fabrics in mind for it already?
Sometimes.
Or does it go the other way around?
It goes both ways.
Okay.
So sometimes the fabric literally talks to me mm-hmm. and directs me. And I feel like I'm not even there. Like mm-hmm. I'm just doing what the fabric wants me to do with it. Mm-hmm. And that's a wonderful experience because you're really in the zone.
Uh-huh.
And that just flows. And sometimes those designs just come really easy. Other times you do a sketch and you think, oh, this is going to be great.
Yeah.
And then you start trying to put it together and you realize, oh, not so great. And there are complications here and this fabric mm-hmm. just doesn't want to do this. So then again, I listen to the fabric and I let it do its own thing because you want the fabric to sit beautifully and fold beautifully. So you just have to go with it. And sometimes that also is a way to create a really beautiful gown and maybe something really original that you didn't originally come up with, but mm-hmm. here it is unfolding in front of you. And that's also a great experience. So designing it's challenging, but it's wonderful.
Oh my gosh. I can't imagine I can't imagine what it's like when you actually, like, I know you go from, like, you're just piecing it together, like you said, the flower that you did for this dress. When you do, like, the first dress of a line, like you're starting a new season, do you already have, like, all of it, like, you've sketched out for all 12? Do you find that, like, once you start one, that you decide you're going to change another one a little bit, or does that
yes.
ever happen?
Well, the sketches that we start with and all the sketches we end up with.
That's where I was going.
It's a very fluid process because, again, sometimes something on paper looks really good mm-hmm. and then you make it and it's like, oh, actually, that's not great.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not in love with that.
Mm-hmm.
So we're very fussy and we will pull things apart and restart them.
That's part of the course, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And do those end up being like your final moments usually on the runway?
Yes,
they do.
I think because that's when the magic happens.
Mm-hmm.
That's when everything just comes together.
So when it comes to Montrousseau, do you guys just have like one line, or do you have like multiple?
Just one.
Okay. Do you and when someone goes to, or they find your brand and they love it, is it just that what is available online for just one season, or can they go back and get
other ones? Oh, no, they can go
ones?
Back.
Okay.
Yeah, we have some dresses that are classics.
If I can
get the fabric, I will make it.
Okay, got it. And I've from someone else came in here earlier and they were like, all that fabric's gone, and it was like their favorite one, and they found it in the back of a room from like 30 years ago or something. It's like, oh, it was, and they're like, it's all gone. I was like, that's sad.
I know sometimes fabrics get discontinued and then you just have to move on.
Oh gosh. So do you go to, like, I don't know if they have, like, fabric markets or something like that. Like, is that where you start usually?
No.
Or you start with the sketches?
Well, a lot of fabric people send me things.
Oh, okay.
But I come into New York and I scour fabrics.
Mm-hmm.
And people come with fabrics. And, yeah, that starts the process.
You know, that just reminded me that you said, because you told me that you actually manufacture here in the mm-hmm. States, mm-hmm. which some of our audience, that's important to them, you know, and I think that's lovely that you do. And that's right here in Connecticut?
In Connecticut, yes.
That's amazing.
It is amazing. Like I said, I have an amazing team of seamstresses. Mm-hmm. And the way we work is kind of old-fashioned dressmaking. So we will often make a toile, mm-hmm. which is the dress in a cotton fabric.
Got it. Like on project runway, yeah. When you see them piecing it. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay.
And that allows us to get the fit right.
Oh.
And then, so the girls will come in and try on the toiles in the stores, mm-hmm. and then we send them back to Connecticut, and they take that apart, and they use that as the pattern for the dress.
Oh, so that's how it happens.
Yeah. Not for every single girl. Some mm-hmm. people don't need a toile. They might fit perfectly into the sample. But for others, I think it's really essential.
That is amazing. So yeah. It goes from that very simple state.
Uh-huh.
How long is that process?
Well, that's, I get asked that all the time. Depends.
Okay. What's the shortest time frame you've had?
Oh, my goodness. I think 4 weeks.
Get out of town.
I had a girl who wanted an Audrey Hepburn-inspired dress. And it was beautiful, and she just couldn't find it anywhere. So she came in, and her wedding was getting closer and closer. And I said, look, I can. If you make a decision today, I can do it.
Mm-hmm.
So she said, okay, let's do it. So they made the pattern in Connecticut. They sent the toile or muslin down to me. I did the fittings. I took photos, sent it back, just came back. Needed just a couple of small tweaks, and it was good to go. And she looked amazing, and she was just so happy and thankful that she could wear the dress she wanted.
Yeah, yeah. How often is it that the girls, because you have... So is it that sometimes they come in and they're getting like more of a couture where it's, you know, one-on-one, like you're building it specifically
yes.
for them?
Yes.
And then there's also, you have a part of a collection too, is that
yes.
right?
So people okay. usually start off with the collection, and most people just make small tweaks to dresses. Mm-hmm. But there are some girls who just want something very specific.
Mm-hmm.
So we try and cater for them as well.
Okay. And do any of those ever end up being... part of a line?
Sometimes, yes. We once, I was in a store and I had a dress and the girl said, I love the top, but I want a big skirt.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we went through the whole collection and then finally her father said, well, can't you just put a big skirt on this dress? And I looked at him and I said, yes, we can. So we took the original top that she liked and we put on this big skirt. And it was so beautiful that I ended up putting it in the collection. And it became like a number one best-selling dress.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Was she, like, over the moon about that?
I think she was. I mean, and her dad
and
was
her
thrilled.
Dad. I was going to say, her dad was
And he was just, he was not a design person or anything. Uh-huh. Like, he basically just came there to hand over a credit card to pay for the dress. And then got pulled into this whole conversation and ended up, he was the one who said, well, just put a full on this top.
Well, like, he was looking at it like an equation.
Yes.
Like, this is the problem, this is the fix.
Yes. And I need to solve this for these girls.
Yes.
It was funny because, yeah, I mean, and, we, you know, we went through a ton of different dresses and then she kept coming back to the first one. And then we just decided to put the full skirt on it. And I looked at the dress and I thought, you know what, this particular dress, it's going to work. Not on every dress can that happen,
yeah.
but on this dress, it could work. And it was beautiful.
What is that dress called?
Meadow.
Meadow.
Yes.
Okay, because now I have to go look at this.
Yes, the Meadow
dress.
Because
the story, is the story anywhere? But like,
I don't think so, no. I don't think so, but it was
so
just great.
Is this the first time people are hearing that story?
I think so, yes.
It's such a good story.
It's such a good story. And it was just, yeah, then everybody started gravitating towards this dress. I think because it had a sheer lace back, and that mm-hmm. was very new back then.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So,
really
yeah,
exciting.
It was great. It's fun. I like working one-on-one with people, with brides and being in the stores. And, you know, you get a ton of ideas and feedback. So.
That's great.
It's important to stay in touch with your customer.
Yeah. Oh, 100% agree with you on that. 100% agree with you on that. Callie, thank you so much for coming on the show today. See, I mean, it's just so fun just to talk about wedding dresses.
I know.
And to get these stories that...
I totally forgot about that story.
Well, I'm glad it came up. Yeah. I was excited about it. Like, that's cool to me. So I hope you have some more of those.
Oh,
like, you know, that, you
yes,
know.
Could write a book.
Oh, I'm sure. No, but I mean, like, dresses that come out of, like a problem needing to be solved that end up being bestsellers. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So
it's
thank
crazy.
You so much.
Crazy good.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
I'm so glad to be able to share my wedding experiences and expertise with you, and that my co-hosts are so giving of theirs. We truly do want you to have the best time at your wedding, and our hope is that this podcast is helping you to make your engagement time while planning your wedding that much easier. May I ask a favor of you if this is the case? Would you just take a moment to leave a review of this podcast on your listening platform? It helps people just like you to find the podcast and to also find out their answers so they can make decisions. I would also absolutely love for you to give This Versus That podcast a shout out on your social media. You can find us at This Versus That Wedding Podcast on Instagram. And if you would like me to help you with a specific question, a wedding decision, please by all means ask. Send me a DM. I would love to hear from you. And maybe, just maybe even have you as a wedding guest on a future episode. How fun. Here's to another great wedding.